time to assume.
How long does that take?
Under the forecasted weather conditions, 10 to 14 days.
Bodies went into the water between November 25th and December 9th, or they would resurface and top ice would have formed around them.
Precisely. Have we any idea what our marine was doing there yet?
Oh, Doug, I don't, but we're going to find out in 11 hours and 30 minutes. Hey.
That was the slide last time. It was long, sir. I'm going to call my
trouble, officer.
We're in the CIS agents escorting one last corporal. You got it all wrong, Marine. She's from Saudi.
I hope you slept on the plane last week.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night. You want to get the cash first, so they are at your weapons.
What's scaring you, Emily?
Fine. What are you talking about, sir?
Really? Because you were on leave with First Sergeant Downing. And you were in the PX ratio the night he was killed and brought by shooting.
Didn't help a coincidence.
A coincidence, Lance Corporal? Five dead bodies? You're only late.
Your company, your fellow Marines are stuck at Iraq until we solve this.
You don't think I know that, sir?
He knows, he just doesn't care. Hey, Sully. Oh, I need a name for guys like you. I was hired.
An explicit term for sexual. What's supposed to happen with this? Like what? The drive-by killing isn't solved right away. Cops forget it. NCIS forgot about it. Robert Benchio was my best friend. He died in my arms. I'll just let that go, sir.
So you decided to turn with the buck?
No. It's all sexual to me, but not to deliver any weapons. Blood.
Your first sergeant found out
about it. Did. He ate while even restricting me to base.
He walked to the meeting in your place.
You didn't go down there to kill anyone, sir. We was down there to make peace. Didn't it? You didn't want anyone else to get hurt.
Could. This is good.
If they should.
What?
It's too long. SMS text messages are limited to 250 characters, so that means...
That means that it was emailed from a computer, not a cell phone.
Can you fact trace it to a physical location?
It's a simple matter of access to the internet from this gateway, or an IP of my ISP.
That's a Virginia address. See, this people were right.
Let's see if we can get a name, the account holder.
Cesar Bernal? That doesn't make any sense. Why would he send messages to himself?
He was pretending he's Miguel Sosa.
Okay, but that's stupid. Because Sosa would totally find out and kill Cesar.
Well, Cesar killed him first.
Uh-oh. What is this meal going to cost me this time?
It didn't cost you any less than.
You mean aside from the 1,000 extra calories I didn't need?
I can leave.
I didn't say. Salvadorian food? How fried. Okay, I'm sorry. Another Marine was injured in Captain Arvada's
dispute. I know.
I wish I found the man responsible for First Sergeant Downing's death.
His name is Cesar Bernal.
Can you make a case? Maybe this meal was going to cost me. Okay. We have so far.
Cesar is making a power play for control of his crew. He's been making orders from Miguel Sosa to the rest of LDM for the last 4 months.
And Sosa?
He's dead. The only way Cesar could have gotten away with it.
So First Sergeant Downing wasn't a target. He was Cesar's lord. The real targets were the three LDM lieutenants. Cesar was taken out to leadership. Do you have any physical evidence?
Nothing left with Cesar at the crime scene.
Jethro, you're going to need more than motive to get a jury convict.
Depends on the jury.
This is harassment. When I get out of here, I'm going to get me a fancy lawyer.
And shove him all the way up your...
Oh, come on, it was just getting good.
Okay, who wants to take him first?
I'm going to take him. Oh, no. What, do you think I can't handle this, man?
Gibbs said keep him on ice, not show him the warning signs of osteoarthritis.
Okay, you can break this guy.
You keep cracking your knuckles like that, you're going to break a finger, Proby. I'm senior. I go first.
You are always going to be senior.
It's a nice thing about being senior is that...
Ahora.
So I cooperate with you on this.
Thanks again. Hauled in like a pescado muerto.
If I cooperate, you mean lie, yes.
What did I lie about?
We know you were at the Ross Creek Pond the night of the murders. And we know you've been killing off the LDM leadership to assert control.
You must think very highly of me. Because the man who can pull off something like that must be a very smart man.
Do you like a smart man, Juanita?
Sorry, you're not my type.
You're playing fire, Juanita.
Is that a threat?
No.
Just say, my SS get very lonely when I'm not around. They're not going to be too happy with the one that's keeping me from them.
I wouldn't worry about it. I'm sure your ass is finding something to do with it.
The autopsy of First Sergeant Downing revealed 4 entry wounds. However, of interest is the fact that the 3 frontal wounds show no sign of internal hemorrhaging. The shots were fired after First Sergeant Downing was dead.
Each of your buddies put a bullet in his corpse.
Your point?
The point is that your buddies each fired a round into the First Sergeant after he was dead. Who shot them?
I want
want to talk to my lawyer.
No can do. Punk.
You've been watching too many cop shows, know that?
Yeah, well, you've been watching too many
game
person shows. I don't think Brody's been watching enough cop shows.
No, he is a capable interrogator. He can be quite intimidating when he wants to be.
You can't keep me here like this.
Well, actually, I can. See, La Vida Mala, the suspected ties down in Kaya. So all I have to do is say the word, Darius. We can keep you in this room till you grow old and die. That actually was intimidating.
I can tell from the rifling patterns that the slugs pulled from your three dead LVMs pulled from the Browning from the sea. Nice tap.
Huh?
Your tracking cards? The symbol of the ancient order of mystic. Sorry, Gibbs. The point is that whoever shot your guys used First Sergeant Downey's gun.
I wanted to make it look like our First Sergeant smoked your mochacho.
Of course, your crew probably would have only turned their backs to the shooter if it was someone they really trusted.
So, like, you don't got no questions for me?
It's a double negative.
Huh?
Don't got no. It's a double negative. It's a non-standard use of two negative words in the same sentence. Cancel each other out and create positive. Actually, in Shakespeare's day, the double negative was used as an emphatic, but now it's just considered a mistake. I don't know if that's what you intended. Pretty sure it's not. We'll still call colloquially like that.
This is hard. Pretty sure you meant, do I have any questions? And the answer to that question is, I have no questions.
Yeah, some observations, though.
Caesar. It's an interesting name, obviously, derived from Caesar.
That's a powerful dude. My name's Anthony. Friends call me Tony, which backwards is why not.
Anyway, in the pecking order, I'm guessing that you're somewhere between the guy that goes out and buys the spray paint that you use for tagging and the guy who takes it out from under your boss's nails.
I have a colonista. You don't know what you're missing. One word from me, and my crew will have you as black.
Your crew. It's that's funny. I thought LVM was Miguel Sosa's crew.
Interesting. Miguel Sosa. On the screen, you'll see I know El Salvador. But the FBI has no record of him in the country. Also, my authorities have no record of him.
The only trail we have, the SMS text messages, is sending about this. He hasn't been sending El Salvador country code to also on.
Someone baked them to make them look like they came from Miguel Sosa.
This is originated from an email account. Mr. Safe Server now.
Killed your boss. Did you kill him?
Us too. You'll never get a conviction in court for what I have on him.
Hello. Right. I see. You were all trying to throw me off balance, soften me up for the big guns, right?
Actually, I didn't know you were still here.
Come on.
I'll grab you.
Where are your safety valve?
Door-to-door service. Don't get used to this. Loyalty means everything in
our world. I said on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a leader are you? You said 7. Survey said.
December 5.
Goodbye, Cesar.
¿Qué pasó, hermanos? Es NCIS pendejos. Wait, eh? He thinks we ought to teach them some manners. What?
The victim, a male in his early 20s, was found in this dumpster, shot repeatedly at close range. Police have identified him as Cesar Bernal, a native of El Salvador, and say they believe he has close ties to gang activity in the Manassas area. In fact, police say he's...
You don't have enough work to do. I'm sure I can find some.
Oh, oh, I got a lot of work to do.
Lots of work.
Good. I'll be in impact.
I hope you have a good one.
Hits do we get? Right. Michael Schwartz has a program on the Eidos website. He edits. Why you're not as much?
We should be good now. Where are you? Just need to find you.
What's next week? We're going to have to move.
Move. When and how about we moved? Unless you move it to Tuesday.
I don't know. That would be the
reason. Actually, Tuesday, when and how about either.
What? So how do I get to see the video here? Okay. No, Yossi. It's Yashan. It's Yashan. It's like a fine wine. It's like a fine wine. Gets better with the age. Okay.
2 years old.
That's right. It's like a fine wine gets better with age.
That's what it is.
Okay. This week's parsha, Parshas Matos Maaseh, among the this a lot of opportunity to have highlights. One of them is we will be hearing, those of you who make it till pretty much the end, will get to hear the once a year Karnei Parah Yerech Benyamino. These are two tropes that only appear once in the entire Torah. It is the rarest of tropes. Even the Shalshelas you get four times. But this one only appears once. You blink, you miss it. That's all what it is. So I wanted to take the opportunity tonight to talk a little bit about trop in general. Trop is the Yiddish for cantillations. And the question is, how important are they? Where do they come from, etc.? We start that the Gemara has a few places where it comments on the trup. For example, at the end of Megillah, the very end of Megillah, some of our Shvatim or of Yochanan called Kori Bro Neima Veshone Bro Zmira Alav Akas Lomer Vegam Anina Asati Lev Chukim Lo Tovim. Anybody who, when they're learning, is not doing it to a tune, in fact, we say about him a negative comment. Rashi says, "What is this ni'ima that we're talking about?" It says, "Kol gon ta'amei mikraos." Talking about, for example, when you're learning, when you're reading the Torah, you should be reading with the proper cantillations. Similarly, Rashi in Barachos comments talks about the idea that tamei a Torah neginos tamei a mikrish al Torah nevi'im v'ksuvim, that there are certain marks that we have throughout Tanakh which indicate the tune by which a word should be said. It says, "Bein b'nikud shebesefer bein b'hagbos kol b'tziltzul ne'imos ha'negino shal pashto v'dargo v'shofer ma'apech molech yodo l'fitam ha'neginos." That there were hand motions they would make to indicate. That's what we're talking about. So the Rashi is talking about the fact that the Gemara is referring to the idea that we have been using the trup for many, many, many years. The Zohar, Kabbalistically, speaks extremely highly of the importance of using the proper trup. I give you the Zohar in its original, followed by a translation to Hebrew, which makes it a little bit more understandable. And he quotes a pasuk and it says, "V'amaskilu bi'asiru kagon ha'tamim ha'menagnim." That the letters and the vowels that we have all are following the tune. What does that mean? They march behind the tune like soldiers behind the king. The letters represent the body. And the nekudos, the vowels, are the spirit. And kulam nosim mamshicha b'masom achar atam im shohei b'neshama. Said, but in fact, the tune is actually the soul of the Torah. Right? Obviously, the physical body is not nearly as important as the soul. And therefore, there is an indication here in the Zohar that not only are the tunes a thing, but they are the thing, with a capital T. That in fact they are the most important part of the entirety of the Torah. It's a major statement. Omdim al makomim kasher atamim nachim kasher nigun atamim noseya nosim haosias v'nekudas hachreya. When the tune starts, the letters follow. Shehu posek, and the tune stops. Gamhem enum nosim olo omdim al makomim. It would seem that the letters and the vowels of the Torah are playing some game of musical chairs. And they, in fact, are following the trup, which is the most important part of it all. So, obviously, we have sources that indicate that the trup, the cantillations, are of utmost importance. The Gemara in Nedarim, however, really spells out a major machlokas, and that is, what is the source for this? Is it biblical? Does it go back to when God gave Moshe the Torah? So he got the letters, obviously. And obviously, traditionally, he probably got the vowels as well, how the words are supposed to be read. But the idea of the tune that came along with laning, did God give that to Moshe? Or did it start up at some later date? In order to get into this discussion, the Mishnah starts off by talking about someone who's moder hana mechavero. I turn around and I say, that's it. I am not getting any benefit from you whatsoever. I swear. So what can you do and what can't you do? So the Mishnah starts listing off. Tarim trumaso masroso ladaito. You can in fact take truma off of my vegetables or miser. That's not really getting hana from the person. Then it says umalamdo medrash halachos va'agados lo yomadenu mikra. This person who I'm not going to get any hana out of. That person could teach me medrash, the person could teach me stories, but he can't teach me the chumash. But he can teach chumash to my sons and daughters. So the question is obvious. What's the difference between mikra and medrash? Why is it, if learning Torah is getting Hana, so I shouldn't be able to learn Mikra, I shouldn't be able to learn Medrash. If it's not getting Hana, I should be able to learn both. What's the difference? So the Gemara asks that question. He says, Maishna Medrash Delo. So why can't you learn Medrash exactly? So first he says, So Moshe says that God commanded me to teach you Torah. Then he says, look, I taught you the Torah like Hashem told me to. Ma ani b'chinam af atem nami b'chinam. So God tells Moshe, just like when I teach Torah, I don't get paid for it. When you teach Torah, you don't get paid for it either. So that's the idea here. So since that this is something that you do for free, so if I teach you Torah and I don't charge you for it, I teach you Medrash, right? So you're not getting Hana. Everybody has to do it for free. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, so why Mikra? If I'm teaching you Chumash, I also, that should be allowed. They said Mikra. So he said, Mikra Nami Bechinam. So Rav Omer Schar Shimur, Rav Yochan Omer Schar Pisot Tamim. So there's a machlokes between when I teach Chumash, why is it that I can get paid for that? So Rav makes an interesting point. He said, who do you teach Chumash usually to? You teach it to little kids. So part of the business of being a Rebbe is to be a babysitter. Right? This has become eminently clear in the last few months that closing down schools, it's not just a matter of the kids aren't learning. It's a matter of the parents can't go to work because the kids are home. So schools, beyond educating, schools also babysit. Right? When they were just going to educate via Zoom, so you get the education, but you're not getting the babysitting. And because of that, you know, the economy is not doing well under that. That's which is one of the reasons why people are pushing so hard. So here it says, you know, yes, the Rebbe doesn't get paid for the teaching of the Torah, but the babysitting Shabbat, Rav says, that's what you get paid for. Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not it. Rav Yochanan says, to teach someone Chumash, I can't get paid. But if I'm going to teach you how to lane, I'm going to teach you the trap, that I can get paid for. Why? Why is the trap different than anything else? So he says, He says, wait a second, you teach Chumash for adults also? So he says, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Ketanim. Not interested in the babysitting, I'm interested in the other part. So the Gemara says, why is he insisting on saying it this way? So he makes a point that I can appreciate. He said, we're talking about teaching boys and girls. Boys, it's a lot of work to babysit. Girls behave themselves. Right? You don't got to pay to watch over girls. Come on. Of course girls are well behaved. So, okay. So he says, I understand why the other guy didn't say babysitting. The guy who said babysitting, why didn't he say because of the trap? Because Savar, piece of Tamim da'oraisa. He says, well, the reason is because just like the Torah comes from heaven, the trap comes from heaven as well. So just like you're not allowed to teach the Chumash and get paid for it because that comes from God, so too you can't teach the laning and get paid for it because that comes from God. So therefore, we have a drasha here from a pasuk, which indicates that the truck actually came from heaven as well. Now, this is interesting. According to the opinion of Rav, right, the reason that you can get paid for teaching Chumash is because of babysitting. Why doesn't he say that? Because he holds that the truck came from Sinai, when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, he got the letters, he got the vowels, and he also got the tunes. Rav Yochanan disagreed, and he said, no, that it would seem Rav Yochanan says not that way. That's why you could get paid. And that's the reason you can do it. Now, this happens to be a practical machlokas. The question of whether it came from Sinai or not isn't necessarily something that's practical, but whether or not I can teach an adult Chumash and get paid for it, that would seem to be totally the machlokas. According to Rav, who says it's babysitting, that I can get paid. According to Rav Yochanan, who says that it's not babysitting, but it's because of the shrub, then even by an adult I can get paid. So therefore, we have a psak in this. And if you look at the Ran is very clear. He says, So he says, whether I can teach an adult is a nafkamina. The Rabbi Yeshiva, the Rav, also the feel on the piece of tamim daraisa. The Rabbi Yochanan Shemishon, Mishum Schar piece of tamim hilkach. The Inyan halacha, Kevin the Kamelon, the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yochanan. In general, we have a rule, and any machlokes in Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, Nakiun da filu migadol shari yiritol schar. That means I can charge for teaching Torah even to an adult. Because the reason I'm allowed to charge is not because of babysitting, it's because the trap that I'm teaching did not come from Sinai. The Kachim Divrei HaRambam Zal. That's how the Rambam fellows. Now, based on this discussion, when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, and he got the letters, and he got the vowels, did he also get the tunes? No. Right? Because we said that's the reason you can charge. So it seems from here that the trump may be very important, but it came at a later date. Now, the later date was clearly before the Gemara, but it doesn't go all the way back to Har Sinai. That's the simple reading of our Gemara. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. The Chasam Sofer points out at no point in our Gemara do we say that according to Rav, it's Doraisa, but we never say the reverse. We just say, according to Rav Yochanan, it's not Doraisa. And he says Rav Yochanan actually agrees with Rav. However, he thinks the drasha, ba'ani b'chinam, af atem b'chinam, just like I am teaching for nothing, so too you have to teach for nothing, that does not cover the tamim as well. The trup is not covered by that, but really there isn't the machlokas. And in fact, if you look at the Machzor Vitri was written by a Talmud of Rashi, and he writes that there are certain psukim out there which are what we call mikrosh ein lahem hechra, that without the commas, you're not really sure how to read it. Their work, it's like, as Avi said, like the famous drasha, let's eat grandma. Right? Is it let's eat, comma, grandma, which would be fine, or let's eat grandma, which would be problematic, right? What? So yeah, that's what they say. They say commas save lives, right? Right? Like the panda that eats shoots and leaves. Right. So there are certain psukim as well. So he says that there are certain cases where we don't know where it is. He said, therefore, we need nafkamina lepisuk tamim. V'shatame l'negino seim shamu l'moshe mi tolesh mi zokef mi yoshev mi omed mi ha'ole mi ha'yored mi ha'munach avol simonu l'negino sofer b'ushe tiknum. So he says as follows, the way that you're supposed to lay, the tune that you're supposed to have, that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. However, the marks that we have, the squiggle of the shalshelas, or the upside down chair of the pazer, right, or the diamond of the ravi, etc., that was added later on. But the Machzor Vitri is very clear to say that, in fact, that the idea of trup goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hagos Maimonides disagrees. The Hagos Maimonides says, look at our Gemara. Our Gemara is very clear in his mind. Right? This Gemara is the way we originally read it. Rav says it's the Raisa. Rav Yochanan says it's not the Raisa. We paskin like Rav Yochanan. Therefore, it's not the Raisa, and therefore the trup comes from a little bit later on. How much later on does it come from? So very interesting. If you look at Megillas Esther, yes.
If it's the Raisa, then how is it Sfardim and
Ashkenazim? We'll get to that. Okay. Where does Sfardim go off the Derech? We'll discuss that. Pronunciation, does that go back to Sinai? You'd assume.
Exactly.
And somehow or another, Sfardim got it all wrong, right?
That's one way to look at it,
yeah. Yeah, so I'm saying this is no different than that.
Right.
But whatever we're going to answer over there could likely be used for this as well. Right? So in Megillas Esther, pasuk all the way at the end, pasuk you should be familiar with, number 12, says, Kimo v'kibu ha-yehudim aleh v'alzara v'alkol ha-nil v'aleh, that it was accepted upon by the Jews and their children and everyone who comes after us, below Yavor, and should never pass away, li'os osim eshnei ha-yamim me'era kiksavam ichizmanim b'chol shana v'shana, that every single year we keep Purim and we keep Shushan Purim. Now the question is, I get it, that we're supposed to keep it what? Kizmanim, like on the day, on the 14th and 15th of Adar. What's kiksavam, the way it is written? So the Ibn Ezra says as follows, Hasha'a tam she'tikra megillah, bavor she'ezra sofa hifzik ha'psukim, lo haya achar shanim rabos, tzivu chachameinu zashlo yafzik ha'karei elo b'sof ha'pasuk. Said the division and the way that you're supposed to read the psukim, that was introduced by Ezra. Now, what came first, Purim or Ezra? Purim, right? Purim happened between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra was the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, the Ibn Ezra says, how you divide the psukim, how you're supposed to read everything, was where's the esnach to go, was not set up yet. So therefore, the Megillah says, I want you to read it specifically this way, because without that demand, it wouldn't have been there. So very interesting, according to the Ibn Ezra, the introduction of the standardized trup that we have does not start until the time of Ezra, meaning that through the entirety of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no standardized trup. Right, it could be that everybody did it their own way. That's good. The Chidah and the Shema Gedolim takes issue with this. And he quotes a sefer. The Shema Gedolim is sort of like a little bit of an encyclopedia, but it's kind of small, about various rabbis and books that they wrote. You know, sort of a paragraph on each one. So he quotes the Tuv Tam L'Rabbi Elio Alevi, a medaktik al tabim. So he said this was written by this fellow. He was very into the way that the Torah was read. Gives the year. He says, by Aldusi Reisi Shomer Shomer Mesores HaMesores, so he said that this fellow wrote that the introduction of this didn't come in until after the time of the Talmud, to where certain wise men in Tveria. However, ve'imo haslicha, I'm sorry. Sorry, buddy. No way. Goes all the way back to Sinai. That's where we saw the Gemara. Kvar yadua she Rav Shimon bar Yochai rabo shel Rebbe HaMechaber HaMishnah b'tikunei HaZohar nimidaber niflos al atamim v'anukudos. Look at the Zohar, he says. It's very clear from the Zohar that this the trup is something that is an intrinsic part of the Torah, right? It's more important than the letters. It's more important than the nukudos. So how can you tell me it only came along later? Doesn't make any sense. The Arizal, etc., Ayin Bezoar, gives the sources. So therefore we have here a machlokas. On the one hand, we have the opinion of the Hagos Maimonios, the opinion of the Ibn Ezra, and the opinion quoted here in the Shema Gedolim, which was really, I'll be honest, the simple reading of the Gemara, that we hold that it's not part of the halacha of Moshe Misinai. When Moshe got the Torah, he got the letters, he got the Nekudos, but he did not get the tunes. But it would seem that there's probably the majority opinion was that it goes all the way back. The Sefer Chasidah makes a statement that's very hard to accept. No, again, the Pesukim arguably were broken beforehand. Okay, but right. So that was the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said that Megillah wouldn't have had Sof Pesukim, but the Torah that was given called Pasuk to Paskina Moshe in the Pasuk Moshe in Anu Paskina. Everybody by the Torah, maybe by Megillah's Esther is different. Maybe Nach is different, but by the Torah, I think no one can argue that the Pesukim were at least given. However, the Niggin and the way where in the middle of the Pasuk you stop and where you go, the argument is that it does not go back. The Sefer Chassidah makes a statement that is hard to understand. He goes beyond what everyone else said, and he says, "Lo sasig v'reacha shagov l'rishonim." The Sefer calls hasagas gvul. I'm not supposed to get into someone else's business. What's I referring to? Shetiknu hanigunim shlo yomer nigun shal Torah l'neviim l'ksuvim. V'shal neviim l'Torah v'ksuvim l'ksuvim v'ksuvim l'Torah l'neviim. There are different tunes. There's a different tune that we have for laning. There's a different tune that we read for the Haftarah. There's a different tune that we're going to read the Megillahs to. Right? There are tunes for the Torah. There's tunes for the Nevi'im. And you should not confuse one with another. Next Shabbos is Shabbos Chazon. And I never like getting the Haftarah for Chazon because I always get for 100. Because in the middle, you have to change tunes. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. What can I tell you? You know, that's the way, once you get into one groove, and particularly, I have a harder time getting to the first groove. Because if you do the brachas to the tune of your standard, and now you got to do echa, and then you got to come back. So that's what he says. That's hasagas gvul. You got to be very careful. Each one has its very own. Why? Ela kol nigun t'moshu matukim shakol halachu l'moshu misinai shenemar me'anenu b'kol. He said, because every single one of these is halachu l'moshu misinai. What's problematic with that statement? Absolutely, Jenny is right. How could the nigun for Nevi'im and Ksuvim be given to Moshe if the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim weren't given to Moshe? Doesn't make any sense. So the Chidah has a parish in the Sefer Chassidim. And he says, Kol nigun k'shoshim mitzukin sh'akol loch ha-moshe v'shinai. Efshe da kavana, da loch ha-moshe sh'inanginu b'torah l'chud. So maybe Moshe was told that this is the trap and only use it for the Torah. Any of the stories, ones that are going to come later, they're going to have their own tunes. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu got the trap for Sefer Yeshaya. But rather, he suggests that it means that this was given as the trump and you should not use it for anything else. That's his suggestion. Okay. The bottom line is, though, that people get very sensitive about this. So, for example, someone wrote to the Chasam Sofer and he says to him what Patty said. Maybe Patty wrote to the Chasam Sofer. I don't get the name of the show all here. But he says, obviously, you have different tunes for different times, right? Different lanings have different tunes. Different people have different tunes. That could be halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Doesn't make sense. The Chasam Sofer does not react well. He said here, "Miyachus shlo nitna negina klal b'mesoros mimoshe rabbeinu al v'shalom v'yasa k'mo sifrei kabbalah plaster." So he said, if you say it doesn't go back, you make the Zohar look bad. The Gemara looks bad also. Don't say that. It's against some very basic sources. So the guy says, if this is really the same tune that goes way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, He says, if this is a type of thing like a para aduma, this is the, it goes back all the way. Says on different days we have different tunes. How are you allowed to do it if this is the tune that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Chasam Sofer says, what are you talking about? Says the lightning is always the same. He says, always the same tune. But on Tisha B'Av, you do it in a lower voice, like someone who's not mourning. And in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you say like you're a little bit more nervous. So that fills it up, because you're standing before the king. And when you're doing Esther, you're happy. However, the underlying approach is all the same. And he says also, even about Ashkenazim Sfarim, if you just listen closely, maybe Gabriel Salarabi and Benji Les don't exactly sound alike when they're laying. However, the general idea that the Pazer goes up, you know, and the Revi goes down, etc., and the Asnachta stops, that's true across everybody, whether you're Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Hasidish, or Taimani. The basics are all the same. And, you know, it's just like accents. Well, no, again, not more different than the letters are. What?
Sounds very different.
My gimel and the Taimanese gimel are basically the same. That's the idea behind it. Now, whether it's the Raisa might be very important for the following question. What if the guy messes up the trup? If you tell me that it is an integral part of the laning, just like the letters and just like the nakudos, and if I, instead of saying yo shave, I said omade, I'd have to go over. If I say yo shave instead of yashav, right, I get the letter, I also have to go over. So what if I got the trup wrong? Right. So if you tell me it's an integral part, so you'd have to repeat the laning, you'd have to correct the laning and go over it again. If you tell me that's something that's later, just like before it came, we got by fine without it. Right? So to now, b'di'evad, we can rely on that as well. The Shulchan Aruch says in number 18, Kara Vitah, afil bedikdukos achas machzirinotso. If a person makes a mistake in the laning, even in one letter, you have to repeat. The Ramah says, Hagah, v'chein din achazin akorei, v'dafku b'shinish mishtana yedeh zeh ha'inyin. Said, only if the change makes a difference. If I say Mitzrayim instead of Mitzroyim, or vice versa, they'll say S versus Ace. Wasm game, it's fine. Avalim tov neginas hatam, o benikud. However, if I made a mistake in the tune or in the vowels, ein machzirin so avo gorim bo. You don't make a paper, you grumble at him. Right? That's the type of halacha we can get into. It's not going to cost us any longer in shul, but we get to complain. It's a dream, really. So what does it sound like from there? It sounds like there that for trup, you never, ever repeat. Right? So it sounds like that perhaps it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gra has a fascinating statement. The Gra actually takes issue with the Ramah. He says, "V'dakva shotsim b'megillah." He says, "V'tzarachian the mashmid the dafka b'megillah in medaktigin kabakai gavna." He said, "The Gra says actually the only time that you don't have to correct a mistake in the nigun is in Megillah Esther." But every other time you do correct. Very often. Right? If I had more time, I would spend some time on his Kadma of Oslos.
Right.
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 Right. Munach Revi. That's what. Correct. The Kol Yo has that. Also by what's again? The Kadma of Oslos that by Chishav Esakates. There are several examples of that. Katonti. Katonti. Right? So the Gra actually seems to be indicating that he thinks that you do repeat. And if you look at Rav Sternbuch, who is Chuvas von Huggis, very interesting. He says, "Va'atikan Shmua b'shem Hagon Rav Chaim Mibrisk." So Rav Chaim Salvechik says, "Let me tell you, I heard from him." Zatzal v'nitos ha'balkora afilu b'neginos. In the event that there was a mistake, even in Megino, so he says, "Sharamaz reishim and kuf membeis." Daito de mashe ima habalkare ta'a afilu b'diktok os achas mavzir. So haynu b'shinu hamishtana al yedeze ha'inyan. So the Rama says, and this is what we follow, you don't have to repeat over mistakes in the trap. He says, I think that rule only applies in the Megillah, it doesn't apply elsewhere. Based on that, Reb Chaim Brisker followed the opinion of the Gra. And if you were the Bal Kore and Brisk, if you even messed up the truck, they'd make you go over, following the Gra. Ubeno Hagon Reb Moshe Salvation Zatzal, right? Reb Chaim Salvechik had a son, Moshe Salvechik. Moshe Salvechik had a son, his name was? The Rav, right? The Rav, Ben Moshe. So Reb Moshe Salvechik, who the Rav took over for in YU. Very interesting, or Sternbuch quoting YU like this. Hisbir halchiluk ben kriyas haTorah Megillah. He said, "Why should there be a difference?" He said, "So you saw the Arim and Mikra, the Nechemiah, Yikra, the Sefer, the Torah, Salakim, Mefurash, Mefurash. This the Som Sechli Avinu ben Mikra. Haynu shehakriyah lahavin lahaskal mitas haTorah." He said, "The reason that you're reading is to understand the Torah. So if I'm reading something and I want to learn from it, I have to be exact in my reading." When we read the Megillah, it's not because we're trying to learn something, we're trying to spread the word. If I'm a letter off, that's not a problem. He says, so that's why, when it comes to reading the Torah, you have to be specific. He quotes this from Michal Shurkin. We have a pretty good idea where Michal Shurkin got it from. So, in fact, we have here a machlokas. On the one hand, the Rama says you don't have to go back. The Gra says you do have to, and that's what Reb Chaim followed. The Mishnah Berurah is a centrist, I say. And he says, in general, if something has changed, because Yaseh B'Patach Kore Yaseh B'Tzeire, right, Ola Hefech, or Becholov, right? Cholov versus Chelov, right? Cholov means milk, Chelov means fat. You change a dot here. You're making a world of a difference. Yoshev, Yashav, Kol Yotzei Bezeh, Shaidim Mishtana, Bevadei Machzirin Osam. Then, if it means something else, you've got to go back. Gam Benikud, Besefer Shulchan, Atzei Shittim, Hosef, Ode, Hu Adim Benigina Satamim. If the trap makes a difference. Right, if you understand the pasuk differently based on the trap, then you got to go back. If you put the wrong words together, so we'll have to see where that comes up. But, no, that's different. That is milael versus milara. That's a dictative thing. This is so. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that in general we don't. We follow the Rama unless it makes a difference. Very interesting. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach was very liberal in this area, and he writes, says you don't have to repeat it, particularly if the guy makes a lot of mistakes. He says the guy makes a mistake once in a year, correct. But if this guy, it's going to take too long. Forget it. Good enough. Then in the footnotes he says, he said, well, you should try to get right as the psukim, though. And now he seems to be of the opinion that whether it makes a difference, whether it doesn't make a difference, you never correct the Trup, right? He says, however, really try to get your psukim right. Now, it's interesting, if we take a quick look at Nach, we get a little bit of an idea of what he's talking about. In Yechezkel, we have a pasuk. And he says, let's look at the first four words. Pnehem v'chanfehos prudos mirabala. Describing the angels, right? So how would you translate that? Pnehem?
Faces, their wings.
Spread out, right? Spread upwards. What spread upwards? Is what's with the face? Is it the face and the wings are up? Or the wings are up and the face is the face? Right, so the Rashi says that were it not for the trup, I couldn't have answered that question. Rashi says, because we have the trup here, it says, ufnehem, stop, v'chanfeyem prudos. So he says it's very important to get it straight.
So I need to understand. Is it the face and the wings? And
just the wings.
It's, you know that because the truck does what?
Because it stops after the words. It says, and the face. And then it says, and the wings are, right, there is a break in between it. So you see from here the importance that, in fact, you can, right, depending on how you're going to read it, right, it will, in fact, it just like the Nakudos will tell you if it's a Yoshev or a Yashav, so too we have several cases, many cases actually throughout Tanakh, where the trup is equally important in understanding what's being said. That being said, I just wanted to leave off with one case actually from not this week's, but next week's Haftorah, where sometimes you see the rule is violated. Sometimes there are mafarshim, etc., that will understand a pasuk the opposite of what the trup says. As we said, Shabbos Chazon, it says, "Lule Hashem tzvakos hosir lanu sarid kimat kistom hayinu amro dominu." Right? Were it not for the fact that God left over a little bit of us, because we were like Sodom and Amora. Right? What's the Navi is saying? The Navi is saying that we acted the way we acted, and we're lucky to still be around. Right? That he left kimat a little of us over. Ibn Ezra has a very interesting statement without telling you why he's saying it. He said, Divra Navi Ba'avor Yisrael, kimat davak im sarid. Right? The read to read it is, Lu Hashem Svakos Asir Anu Sarid Kimat. Right? Those words go together, he says. Because when you want to understand what it means, you have to follow what the trup says, the Ibn Ezra says. Why is he making such a big deal about it here? What would I have thought it meant otherwise? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara learns a halacha. It says, you should not open your mouth to Satan, literally, meaning that you should not give him any ideas. How's that? Rav Yosef Mikra, what's the proof? Shneimar kimat kisdom hayinu. We were almost like stone. What's the next pasuk? Ma'ala Navi, shimu dvar Hashem kitzine sedom. Because you said, we were practically like, he says you're practically like Sodom. God that said, now you're like the leaders of Sodom. The Gemara read it. How? Kimat kisdom hayinu. Even though that's clearly against the way that we lain it. Right? When we lain chazon, we'll read it, kimat, stop, then kistom hayinu. Right? It says in the first pasuk we were like Sodom, it says in the second pasuk we were like Sodom. There's no learning al tiftar pel satan if they both say the same thing. So therefore the Ibn Ezra steps in here. The Ibn Ezra is taking a shot at the Gemara, interestingly, by saying that whenever you're going to do this, you have to be very, very careful. The trup is halacha l'moshe misinai. Odd statement. He's one who said in Megillah, not that way. But he says that, you know, it's so important. You got to be very careful. It dictates what pshat is. However, you'll see that there are many times that the Gemara doesn't read it that way, Rashi doesn't read it that way, and dare I say, even the Ibn Ezra, there's a list of cases where his pshat goes against what the Trump says. But the bottom line is Trump is important, and it's something that should be appreciated, and we the reason for it other than just to make Benji's life miserable.
Is it a form of punctuation?
Yeah. It is a melodic form of punctuation. All right, thank you. Why don't we have something that's